That was my Bible reading. And I read about how Paul went into the city of Ephesus and he began to preach, and an uproar took place. A riot broke out. And those heathen got together, and you Bible readers remember, they began to cry out. And over again, they were just saying one phrase: "Great is Diana." You remember that? "Great is Diana." That old goddess, she hadn't saved anybody when they were lost. She hadn't healed anybody when they were sick. Hadn't baptized anybody in the Holy Ghost. But they loved that God so much. Amen. The Bible said, with one voice, in other words, everybody in one accord, for about the space of 2 hours, all they did was say, "Great is Diana." My, I don't know about you, but that convicts me a little bit. Amen. Because here we are tonight on Wednesday night at youth camp. You know how long we usually are in church? About 2 hours, give or take. Amen. 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Back home, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. They're probably getting out about right now. I'll tell you how I'd like to spend these 2 hours tonight. I'd like to say, "Great is the Lord." Amen. How many believe He's great and worthy to be praised tonight? God wants to hear from us. You know that. God wants to hear our praise. Amen. I remember reading about a guy. I'm going to try to get in here and preach just a minute, but I just feel the Lord right now. I want to mind him. I remember reading about a man out in, I believe it's a state of Nebraska. It's just a few years ago now, and he's a preacher, and he had a camp meeting. Now, it wasn't a holiness Pentecostal meeting or nothing. They were from another denomination, and this guy, on the last night, their meeting, he wanted to have some kind of move, you know. He wanted to see folks respond and worship God. And, you know, when you don't have the real Holy Ghost, you got to invent something. Amen. And this guy, I don't condone what he did, but he had ushers that night at every entrance to that camp meeting ground. And everybody that came in that night, true story, they got a balloon, a helium balloon, when they walked in the door. And he told them, he said, when he got up to open the service, he said, "If at any time tonight you feel like praising God," he said, "I know we don't run around here. We don't get wild and dance and roll on the floor and clap our hands and do all that Pentecostal stuff. But," he said, "if you feel like praising God tonight, just let that balloon go." Amen. And when that balloon goes up to the roof, that'll be symbolic of your praise going up. That sounds crazy to us, don't it? There have been a few nights I wish I'd have brought a balloon at least. Hey, man, I've been in a few places that's so dead, anything would have been better than just having a staring contest, you know? Hey, man, sometimes I get glad when folks get up and go to the bathroom. At least I know somebody's still alive out there. Amen. But, hey, man, this guy made that announcement. He said, "Come on, let's praise God." And a few balloons went up here and there, one or two during the singing, during the preaching, and at the altar call. But here's a sad fact to that true story. When it's all over, they estimated that 66% of that crowd went home and they still had that balloon in their hand. Can you imagine that? What they're saying? "I went to church tonight, sat on a padded pew, heard some testimony, some singing, a little sermon, but I never felt like praising God." Amen. "I never did let go of my praise." My, I hope it'll be better than that around here tonight. Don't you? Amen. I know we didn't give you a balloon when you walked in the door, but how many know everybody came in holding a hallelujah tonight? Everybody came in holding a thank you, Jesus, and a glory to God. I'll tell you what I'd like to do while we're feeling Him tonight. I'd like to let it loose. Amen. How many like to let that praise loose? Won't we just lift our hands right now? Can we do that? I don't think we're wasting time. Come on, magnify the Lord with me. The book of Psalms, chapter 32. That's where I feel like the Lord is directing me tonight. I just want to be mindful of what God's doing. I feel a sweet spirit around here. Psalm chapter 32, God changed my message this evening. And he's got a plan. I know that. I like what the old black preacher said. He said, us preachers are just God's paper boy. We don't write the news. We just deliver it. Amen. So that's what I want to do. I just like to throw it on the front porch. Anybody ever had a crazy paper boy? I did. I had a guy, he threw it everywhere but where it's supposed to be, in the bushes, in the weeds. I came out one day, and the paper was on the rooftop. I don't know how you do that, but it's hard to read it when it's over your head or somewhere you can't find it. Hey, man, I just like to throw it right there. Just got a simple message tonight, but maybe you can get a hold of it and read it. And I like to see God moving these altars, wouldn't you? Hey, man, that's what it's all about. How many help me preach a little while tonight? All right, Psalm 32, if you're there, say amen. Let's begin reading in verse 1. There is a great story behind this chapter, and maybe we'll tell a little bit of it as we preach tonight. But David is testifying here, and I want you to listen to what he says. Psalm 32 and verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Amen. I'm glad I got it covered at Calvary one day, aren't you? Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, notice that. Everybody say silence tonight. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. God was pinning him down. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. But here's the turning point right here. Notice that. David said, I kept silence. In other words, I wouldn't pray through. I wouldn't repent. I wouldn't tell God I want to get rid of that old sinful life. Hey, man, I want to turn around. How many know when you refuse to do that, you're going to be miserable? Amen. That's all there is misery. But listen to verse 5. Here's the turning point. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee, unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Listen to how he starts talking now. Verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. And here's what I like. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. Amen. How many like to see somebody get that song back tonight? David said, now that I prayed through, I'm surrounded by songs. Amen. Everywhere I look, all around me, on the left, on the right, and behind, in front, every direction I look, I got something to praise God about. I feel that way tonight, don't you? Anybody feel that way in this house? Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to verse 3 again. When I kept silence. Amen. Boy, everything was wrong. Everything was bad. Silence. But then he prayed through. And in verse 7, he's got a song of deliverance. Amen. I believe God wants to help somebody tonight. I want to preach just a little while on the song that breaks the silence. Amen. The song that breaks the silence. And I feel like tonight, amen, if we'll do some praying through, I know we've done some shouting. Amen. This week, I know we've rejoiced. Amen. But there's been a few that hasn't been in on it. If we could pray clean through tonight, I believe we'd sing like we never sang before. Amen. Hallelujah. Won't you raise your hands this way? I'm not going to lead you in prayer. Would you just all pray tonight? Let's ask God to help us. Oh, God. Amen. Lift your voice. Ask God to move tonight. Heavenly Father, oh, we need you. We need that holy anointing tonight. God, will you touch? Will you give somebody the victory, the joy of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. And amen, the song that breaks the silence. I read a great story some time ago. It come back to me today. Some of you preachers read Clarence McCarty, that writer, great preacher. And He wrote about the Hartman family. Maybe some of you heard it. The Hartman family. They were some of the first settlers in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area. And when they arrived, the Native Americans, the Indians had that territory, and they went on the war path when the white man showed up. And one day they came in and they burnt the house down, the Hartman home. The mom was away doing some work somewhere, and they came in, they killed the dad, and they killed all the boys, the Hartman family, and they took that little girl, the only daughter, Regina Hartman was her name, and they captured her and carried her away. Amen. And here come the mama back home. And you can imagine, can't you, mothers? She was devastated and heartbroken. The enemy had got in. How many know that's what the devil wants to do to our families tonight? He liked to come in and rob this generation. Didn't they look so good singing up here tonight? Amen. All these young folks, he'd like to destroy them though. But I want to tell you tonight, God has a better plan. Amen. The devil wants to rob, but I believe God wants to revive. Amen. How many like to let God have his way and let God do what he wants to do? Huh? Amen. But here come this enemy in, and that mother, make a long story short, for years she was sorrowful. For years she was troubled. But then you know history. Amen. Our army came in and wiped out the Indians, the Native Americans. And when they did, they recovered over 100 children from those prairies that had been stolen and captured. And they got them all together and they called all those families in, those parents, to reclaim their children. But there's a problem now. How are you going to tell which one belongs to who, you know? Hey, man, there was no DNA testing back then. Some of those children have been toddlers. Now they're teenagers. They couldn't tell who belonged to who. But here's what got me. That mother began to run through that crowd, and she stopped at every girl, and she asked, "Are you my daughter? Are you my daughter? Are you my daughter?" There was no emotion, no movement. And finally, that mother, Mrs. Hartman, she reared back and began to sing. Amen. She sang an old song. I can't remember the words right now, but it's an old gospel hymn. As she had sang at bedtime to those children. And when she began to sing that old song of Zion, way down the line, amen, a teenage girl stepped out and she said, "It's me, Mama. It's me." Amen. And they ran that night. They reunited and hugged, and they got back together. You know what happened? The hostage heard a hymn, and she made it home. Amen. The hostage heard the song of Zion, and that brought them back. I want to tell you tonight, I believe that's what we need in the house of God on this Wednesday night. Maybe you're here. Boy, I felt it in prayer today. Amen. The devil's got you captive. It's been so long, you don't remember what it's like to shout and praise God. I tell you what I'm praying will happen tonight while we're singing and shouting. I'd like somebody to wake up and remember the blessing and come on back home. How many believe tonight God can give them a song again? God can give them a joy, amen, that passes what they've ever had. How many say amen tonight? Won't you raise your hands? Ask God to do it. Ask God to revive somebody tonight. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, amen, oh, I'd like to shake loose tonight and preach to somebody in this house. The devil wants you to be silent. You know that. He wants you to be a silent sinner. But I got news for you. God wants you to be a shouting saint. Amen. I'd like to have a revival where some prodigals come back. Amen. You remember that prodigal son? He left the father's house. He got down there in the hog pen. Somebody Somebody said he went from the top to the slop. Amen. Maybe that's where you're at tonight. But praise God, something got a hold of him. I like how the old black preacher said it. One day he looked around and he dropped the pail. He jumped the rail and he hit the trail. Amen. He said, I'm going home. And when he got back, you got to do some repenting. He said, I have sinned. But when he prayed it through, you know what happened next? There was singing and rejoicing and music and dancing. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, you can come on back home. You can shout again. You can sing again. God will give you a song that'll break the silence. Amen. How many say glory tonight? Oh, hallelujah. God wants you to sing again. I want to look at this text tonight. Psalm 32. Amen. Amen. Psalm 32. I think it's noteworthy. Really, it takes four chapters to tell this story. Amen. Amen. You go back. I tried to read them all today when God was dealing with me about this. 2 Samuel 11, 2 Samuel 12. Those chapters tell about David's sin, his backsliding, his transgression. Amen. Then we go to Psalm 51, and David repented. He prayed through. Praise God. And then we go to Psalm 32, and here David is testifying about what the Lord has done. Amen. And maybe we'll look at all these chapters tonight a little bit, but I want to look at this Psalm 32 mainly. Amen. You notice something? Let me just lay this foundation here. Amen. I noticed when I was reading this today in my Bible, the heading of this psalm calls it Amasiel. Amen. And notice that Amasiel, it says right before verse 1. And I looked that Hebrew word up, Brother Dean, and it means to teach. Amen. Amen. To give instruction to. And you know, now think about this. There's 150 chapters in the book of Psalms and only 13 Masiels. Amen. Amen. That's all. So when you come to one of them, you better stop and read. God is trying to teach us or show us something. Amen. What is God trying to show us right here? You can fall into sin. Amen. Come on now tonight. You say, you don't know me, Brother Pascarella. I want to tell you, it don't matter if you're the preacher. It don't matter if you're Judas, the disciple. It don't matter if you're King David. If you're the deacon's boy. Boy, you can fall into sin if you're not careful. Amen. How many know there's a devil out there? We need a wake-up call. And we got to hit an altar again. Amen. Oh, yeah. I remember reading about a guy. Maybe some of you read about him. His name was Felipe Pettit. Felipe Pettit. You talk about a crazy man. They called him a daredevil. Amen. I just think he's psycho, you know. This guy got up. Amen. Back in 1974, and I don't know how he did it, but he strung a tightrope between the World Trade Center towers. Amen. Got up there and snuck up there and hung this tightrope out, and he got up there and started walking. Amen. No safety net. Can you imagine that? Walking back and forth. And somebody found out about it, and they sent the police out there to arrest him. But who in the world is going to walk out and cuff him? Amen. So you know what he did? He just taunted him, Brother Dean. He said, 45 minutes he's up there. Amen. Walking 8 times back and forth. Finally, it started raining and he thought he better go in, you know. And they arrested him. And here's what got me when I read the article about that. Amen. They interviewed that boy and they said, man, you could have fallen. You could have died. And he was cocky and arrogant. And he said, I'm Felipe Pettit. I never fall. Amen. Boy, I met some people that think that about theirself. Remember what the Bible said though? He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I want to tell you tonight, there's only one thing between standing and falling. That's take heed. We need to have a youth camp where we get serious and realize we're fighting the devil tonight. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. But here's what got me, Brother Yeomans. Amen. Felipe Pettit did all that. And years later, he got down in Florida somewhere, and he's down there training some circus performers, you know, and he was only 25 feet up. That's high for me, but not for a guy that's been up there between the towers. But he said later, I got careless. Amen. I just was prancing around, and he fell, and he broke his neck, paralyzed, broke his arm and his ribs. And you know what they said about that guy? A man that stood so high, fell so low. Amen. My, I want to tell you, I don't want them to say it about me to you. I don't want the devil to knock me out and knock me down. How many know tonight you can fall to sin if you're not careful? Amen. Somebody say amen here tonight. That's what this is teaching me. Look at this man, King David, the sweet singer of Israel. His heart's out of tune. Amen. I want to preach to you a little while here. The man after God's own heart, his heart is broken. Amen. You can fall. But you know what else this is teaching me tonight? You can be forgiven. Amen. Oh yeah, that's really the note I want to ring tonight. You can fall, but you, how many can testify tonight? There's a friend for the fallen. Amen. You're not left to die. You're not left down forever. Amen. I'll tell you why I'm singing. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock. I'm glad today there's a friend for those that are fallen. Amen. Oh, yeah. I read the other day about the guy that built the San Francisco, what they call it, Golden Gate Bridge. It turned 75 the other day, 75 years old. And this guy who built it, he's from Cincinnati, Ohio, near where I live. And this fella, they said back when he's building it in early 1900s, 19 men fell to their death. Amen. And it got so bad, nobody wanted to work. I'm talking about falling tonight. There was a fear of falling. And it got so bad, the steel workers said, we're not working. We're not getting up there. Everybody's falling and dying. That's how a lot of young folks feel. Nobody can make it. Everybody's going down. But you know what that man did? He built a safety net. Amen. First kind of its ever in existence. And he spread that net over the Gulf. And those men got a boldness. They saw now you don't have to be afraid of falling. And they said, Brother Dean, during the rest of that construction, 8 more men fell. But every one of them was saved by the net. Amen. Caught. Hallelujah. And here's what I like, Brother Joey. Amen. Those men got a nickname. They called themselves the Halfway to Hell Club. Amen. It's a bunch of rough men. And they went around saying, I was halfway to hell, but I had a friend build a net, and he caught me, and he saved me. I want to tell you tonight, amen, you wonder why we shout. I wonder why we don't shout. Amen. I was halfway to hell. I was going down, but I had a friend, and he put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, somebody can come out of here singing again. Amen. Woo! I may believe God will do it for somebody tonight. Don't you get troubled. I want to tell you tonight, boy, maybe I picked the wrong night to preach it, but it's the only thing on the menu right now. Amen. So we're going to have to serve it. But I want to tell you, it feels good in here, but I get a little troubled about the silence in the house of God. Don't you? Amen. Somebody said the silence is deafening. I believe it is. We come to the house of God. The devil's got people bound. He's got their mouth wrapped up like Lazarus. He come out of the tomb, but he's wrapped up in grave clothes. I want to tell you, God wants to loose you and let you go. And we can have a revival of shouting and rejoicing. God wants to give you a song that'll break the silence. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I want to look at this text just a little while tonight. I want to give you a couple things that God laid on my heart today. Notice with me, number one, David's grievous sin. Amen. David's grievous sin. Boy, I mean, it's a sad part of the story. I wish we could skip over it. But how many know you can't shout over sin? Amen. Oh, come on now tonight. We want to skip right to the shouting, but we got to do something about the sinning. Amen. Hey, man, I've never seen a generation. Boy, I'm getting on rabbit trail. It gets dangerous when your preacher is shooting anything that moves, you know, when the rabbits start running. Amen. But I want to tell you, I had a buddy back home when I was in high school, and he worked at a Christian bookstore. I want to tell you what kind of generation we're living in. It don't matter, amen, what they do, how they live. Everybody's going to heaven. Amen. Hey, come on now. Everybody's saved. You just ask them. And my buddy brother back home, he worked at a Christian bookstore. And back when I was in high school, you know, that is big popularity. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Amen. And he told me one day, he said, Jerry, we had to hide the bracelets. And I don't wear a bracelet anyway. Amen. I'd preach against that anyway. But he said, we're selling these bracelets. WWJD. What would Jesus do? And we had to hide them and lock them up because everybody's stealing them. Amen. And I got to thinking about that. If it wasn't so sad, it'd be funny. Somebody walking around with a bracelet on. What would Jesus do? I don't know everything he'd do, but I know one thing he wouldn't do. He wouldn't steal a bracelet and wear it. Amen. Come on now. We're living in an hour. Everybody's religious. Everybody's saved. That's why it's so quiet in the house of God. We're hypocriting around and hiding sin. Somebody's got to pray it through and we'll get a song back. Amen. Oh, how many like that real song of the Holy Ghost in your heart? Yeah. Listen to what the Bible said. Let me read it to you real quick now. You got to go all the way back to 2 Samuel 11. Listen to this. And it came to pass, verse 1. After the year was expired, at the times when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all of Israel, and listen to this, I underline this, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Amen. Oh, no. You see the problem right there? It all started when David was idle, when the king should have been in battle. Amen. He should have been on the firing line. Amen. He should have been fighting. Amen. But instead, he's kicked back on the rooftop, seeing what he could see. Amen. Amen. Just surfing the horizon. Amen. I like how one brother back home said it. He's preaching about the internet. You know, now I know it's kind of controversial, amen, here, but I like what he said. He said, David got up on the rooftop and sinned. He said, I don't preach against getting on the rooftop, amen. We got to get up there and clean the gutters out, you know, amen. It's not a sin, amen. He said, that's the way it is with the internet. Some people might have to get on there and work and do some school and business. So he said, I ain't preaching against everybody being on it, but if you're on it, you better be watching what you're surfing around. Around looking at. Amen. Amen. David, it's all right to be on the roof, but you're idle. You're fooling around. You're seeing what you can get into. Amen. That's why a lot of folks are getting burned. Amen. They're getting on the computer and Facebook. Just see what we can get into. I should be praying. I should be reading my Bible. Let me see what I can get into. I want to tell you, we need a wake up call. We need a revival. Amen. Get back on the firing line. How many believe tonight it's time to fight the good fight of faith? Don't let the devil destroy you. Amen. Oh, amen. I don't want to get casual in this hour. Do you? Anybody want to wake up? Amen. I got a brother back home. Man, we call him the general. I know I'm preaching slow tonight. I just like to preach this out, man. Amen. I was preaching. His brother, Oscar Hughes, he turned 84 on Sunday. He was a sergeant, master sergeant. Amen. How do you say that? Sergeant. Amen. In the Korean War, Brother Tony. And this guy, man, he's a... You know him, Brother Jonathan, probably, Brother Oscar. Hey, man, he's a great man of God. And he told me many times. He said, I was out there on a Korean battlefield when he was just a young man, before he was a sergeant. And they gave him guard duty one night. And he said, I was pacing around.
and I got weary. Amen. I got tired. I think that's where a lot of folks are in the house of God. Don't you? Amen. Just weary with the battle. And he said, I thought to myself, how many times have I been out here and the enemy's never attacked? I mean, it's dark. Nobody's watching. And he thought, I'd just lean up against this tree a little bit and just take a siesta, you know, just rest a little bit. And he said, I closed my eyes and those trained ears heard a twig snap. Amen. And he asked, who goes there? Amen. He woke up real fast. Who's out there? And he said, I was waiting for a password. You all Southerners would like the password that night. General Lee. Amen. Has a password. And he said, I waited and there's no answer. Amen. And he said, I didn't give him another chance. He said, I come out blazing. Amen. And when he shot, he said, I saw eyes all over that field and all the rest of his army woke up and they came out blazing. Amen. Come to find out the enemy was all around them. But thank God they routed them and chased them out. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, the devil's all around us lurking. Amen. Amen. Waiting. We need to wake up the mighty men. We need to wake up the mothers of Israel. We need the young folks to get on the firing line. Hallelujah. How many believe tonight we can win this battle? You don't have to fall. You can fly. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what Brother Hughes said, though, and I got a message out of it. Amen. Brother Hughes said, I was almost a casualty of casualness. Amen. I got so casual, I almost became a casualty. I want to tell you tonight, that's where a lot of folks are. You took off your armor and you put on your pajamas and you kick back in your holiness lazy boy, the padded pew. I want to tell you, we need a revival. Bible, and it's at the altar. It's in the prayer closet. How many like to shake yourself and wake up and win the battle that we're in? Amen. I don't want to get casual right now, do you? Amen. I see David's casual spirit. The Bible said he laid on his bed till evening. Verse 2. Amen. I get the idea he'd been there all day, just lounging around, laying around. He got up. And you know what bothers me? When you get a casual spirit, pretty soon you want to cover up sin. Amen. Oh, yeah. First, it's just a casual spirit. Just come in, kick back, not really wanting to get in church. It don't matter if we have a good service or not. And any time I've seen a church that had a casual spirit, there was usually a covering up of sin. Amen. Oh, yeah. It's hard to be a hypocrite when in the early church, when if you lie to the Holy Ghost, you fall over dead. Amen. It's hard to get casual. Come on now. When the fire's burning. But when that casual spirit gets a hold of the church, there's a covering up of sin. Amen. And you remember the story. I'm going to fast forward it tonight. David looked out. He saw that woman, Bathsheba. He lusted after her. He called for her. He laid with her. Now she's got a child. Amen. Now he's got to have Uriah murdered. Now he marries her. Oh, do you see it tonight? The web that sin will weave. The web that sin will get you in. You know what the Bible said? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. I want to tell you, there's only one cover-up plan, and it's at Calvary, the old rugged cross. I'd like to get it under the blood. I'd like to have a revival where we get sanctified and purified. That'll cover it all. Amen. Oh, how many believe we need some coverings tonight? Can I preach about 5 more minutes to y'all? I read about this guy. I love history. Amen. And I read about the New Madrid earthquake back in 1812. And it rocked Missouri and Arkansas. You know, the Mississippi River turned backwards and all that. But one thing that's interesting, if you've read that, about that earthquake, there was two boys, men, Amen. Liburn and Isham Lewis, they had murdered a man, an old man in that town, the day before. George was his name. And they didn't think, Brother Donnell, anybody would find out. And they hid him in their chimney in their house. Amen. And they thought in a couple days when it slows down, we're going to bury this guy and nobody will know. Amen. But the next day, God shook the earth and the chimney crumbled. And when everybody came outside, there was that old murdered man they'd been looking for laying out there exposed. And they found out the sin. And they hung those brothers. You check it out and read it. Amen. I want to tell somebody tonight, God's getting ready to shake this earth. He's going to shake your world up. You're not going to hide it. You're not going to cover it up. There's only one way. Run to that old rugged cross and get it covered in the blood. How many believe we'll come out singing? We'll come out shouting. Hallelujah. There'll be a song that'll break the silence tonight. Amen. Oh, yeah. David's grievous sin. I want to leave you with this, so David's godly sorrow. Amen. How many believe what the Bible says? Godly sorrow still works. Amen. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to try to act like some super duper, amen, spiritual prophet tonight. But I want to tell you what God spoke to me at about 5 o'clock. I was going to preach on the Holy Ghost again. But God said to me, amen, tell them if they'll do some repenting, I'm going to let them do some rejoicing. Amen. Oh, yeah. If they'll do some praying. You know what the problem is today? We don't pray through. We get through praying. Amen. Come on in here tonight. I said we don't pray through. We get through praying. But if you really want to shout and you really want to sing, amen, somebody is going to have to nail it to the cross and lay it down. How many believe we need a revival of repentance in the house of God? Amen. Oh, yeah. I read a funny story one time, but I got a lesson out of it. I read about this boy. He had a speech impediment. I'm not making fun of him now, but he had a speech impediment. And he couldn't pronounce his R sounds. That was his problem. And so his teacher, she gave him some big assignment. I know we got some teachers here. Amen. And thank God for them. Thank God it's summer too, huh? Amen. But, amen, she gave him this assignment, Brother Tony, and she told him, she said, I want you to work on saying those R words right. And she said, here's what your assignment is. She said, you go home every day and you say this 50 times. Robert gave Richard a rap on the ribs for roasting the rabbit too rare. Amen. Woo! Amen, that's a tongue twister. I'm barely get that one out. Amen. Robert gave Richard a rap on the ribs for roasting the rabbit too rare. And that boy had a month, you know, amen, to practice that and get it all ready. And the day came when he got up in front of the class and he had to say it. And they all eyes were on him. And here's what the old boy said. Bob gave Dick a poke in the side for not cooking the bunny enough. Woo! Amen. You know what the moral of the story is? He didn't want to say the R word. Amen. It's hard. It's difficult. So he invented some new words so he didn't have to say it. Amen. Hey, you know what I got out of that? We don't want to say repent. Come on now. We don't like that R word. It's too hard. So we invented a whole new language. And now we say this. I made a mistake. Amen. Amen. Anybody, I don't know how it is down South. Anybody get up in your old church and say this, if I offended anybody, amen, just forgive me. Come on, man. You know if you did it or not. You know who you hurt. Amen. You know what? We don't want to say, I have sinned. Forgive me. We just want to say, amen, I was born that way. My daddy abused me. Some other preacher hurt my feelings. I want to tell you, we need to repent. Amen. There's some other R words. I'd like to say revival, redemption, rejoicing. But if we're going to say that, we got to say repent. We got to say I'm coming clean. How many would like to have a revival where we lay it all down tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. I believe God's waiting on us to pray it through. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Won't we just stand tonight? I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Won't you lift your hands right now? Oh, hallelujah. Let's ask God to send a wave of repentance. Amen. Come on, won't you lift your hands? Oh, God. Oh, God. I'd like to nail it to the cross tonight. I'd like to once and for all quit playing games, and I'd like to pray this thing through. Amen. I'd like to get that song back of salvation. Come on, the music, Brother Woods. I'm gonna tarry just a minute here. Amen. David, for a long time, he fooled around, and he said, I kept silent. Amen. I wouldn't pray through. I got a feeling he went to the house of God. Amen. I got a feeling he played church. He was religious. Amen. I mean, he went down there. But you know what's telling? He never wrote any new psalms during that time. He was silent. Amen. But one day God sent a preacher named Nathan. And Nathan, you remember, how many remember that story right there? He said, thou art the man. Amen. And I want to tell you why David's one of God's favorite men right here. It's not because he never sinned. It's because he knew what to do when he sinned. Amen. You know what I love about David? David didn't get mad at the preacher when he said, you're the man. You know what blew my mind? David named one of his boys Nathan. Amen. Later on, yeah, you look it up. Let me give you that verse if you don't believe me. Amen. Over in Chronicles. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Chronicles 3 and verse 5. David named one of his sons Nathan. Amen. Later on, you know what I believe he said? My best friend is that preacher that called my number and told me the truth. I want to tell you, your mom and dad's not your enemy that lays the law down. Brother Prickett, amen, didn't he preach some holiness today? Amen, some jumbo-sized grade A holiness. Amen. I want to tell you, that's not your enemy. That's your best friend, that man of God. We can be charismatic. We can be a bunch of hypocrites. Or we can have real revival. And the glory. And the power. How many want to get it back tonight? Amen. You know what God's waiting on in this house? I know we jumped and ran, and I'm all for it. But God's waiting on somebody to nail it to the cross. Amen. Amen. David's grievous sin. David's godly sorrow. David said, I acknowledge my transgression. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. And you know what happened? David come out singing. Amen. Amen. There's a glorious song. I believe what you say, Brother Pastor, it's been a little different and a little slow tonight. I believe we can have some Holy Ghost baptisms around here. Amen. You ever see anybody get saved real good and get the Holy Ghost the same night? Amen. I've seen it a whole bunch of times. When David finally got prayed through, he said, I'm compassed about with songs of deliverance. I used to be surrounded by sin. Now I'm surrounded by songs. When I look on the left, I see the blessing. On the right, the glory. Behind me, goodness and mercy. In front of me, heaven. Every way I look, I got something to sing about and shout about. How many know that's the way it is when you're living right tonight? Amen. How many like to have an altar call? A real altar call tonight. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Brother Woods, is playing on the music right now, getting ready to sing. I'm going to wait you out. Amen. We can have a mass altar call tonight, and we can all act like, amen, it's not me. But how many would like to step out and say, it's me, oh Lord? We're not saying you're a rank sinner. We're not saying you're the most vile person. But you're here tonight and you want revival and you don't want to play around. You don't want to hide it. You're saying, God, I want a clean heart. Amen. God, I want a right spirit. Would there be anybody tonight? Come on, I know you're here. I know you're here. You want to pray this thing through. Amen. Come on, I'm going to wait on you. Here comes one.